Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
LeBron's being fair to Shedeur Sanders. Real quick, did you see Myles Garrett's in the 99 club?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Did you see TJ Watt's never been in the 99
club? I did not know that.
Champions Post.
Yeah, we were talking about that off the air. I assumed when you win Defensive Player of the Year that that just gets you the 99.
I thought so too, because he was coming off of 2023, and I just assumed this was year two for Myles Garrett in the 99 club. And I saw the news yesterday, and I got to tell you, I haven't played Madden since I played with my son a couple of years ago. And I told you I frustrated him and he wouldn't play me anymore because I told him that he was playing video games and I was playing football and I just beat him 22-0. And that frustrated him to the point where he doesn't want to play that. And my son doesn't like playing video games with me anymore because I rub it in, which is,
you taunt,
to me, good parenting. Yeah. You're, I don't, like, let him win in Mario Kart. I don't let him win in anything.
You do. You act like the Cleveland Browns defense after every three and out,
yes,
or every turnover.
No loss, man. I do. It's probably going to be traumatic for him, but that's the way I treat him. So I don't play Madden that much, and I play an old college football video game that we've gone over too many times, but I don't play Madden that much, so I don't know. The significance of 99 I know is a big deal. I'm going to get to the other stuff here in a second. I know it's a big deal. Is it still a big deal to the players? Because it still seems to be.
Oh, I would think it's huge for the players.
I love, even though it's not a great big deal to me, and I got much bigger issues to deal with the Browns, like who's going to be a quarterback? Are we going to actually win some games? Is the front office worth keeping? Is the coaching staff worth keeping? I mean, these are actual things that Browns fans are considering. New stadiums coming up here in the next few years. Like, these are real things. But to the players, it matters. And because I think it matters to TJ Watt, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because it's another thing that bothers TJ Watt.
Yeah, and I mean, until the Steelers do anything in the playoffs, like, yeah, they're going to rub it in, their record against the Browns, their Super Bowls that all happened, most of them before I was born.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, they're going to rub all that stuff, but it's nice that the Browns do have a few things. Because when you go to this fight with the Steelers and you have nothing to fight with, it just turns into name-calling. Like, you want a little bit more than name calling. You want to have something attributable.
I've been to Pittsburgh, and I don't want to sit there and say nasty things about the city because I think we're too close geographically, and I think the cities are very closely related, right, in so many ways when it comes to industry and all those other things. So I really don't want to say anything nasty about the people, but I will just sit there and say that I find their football team repulsive, and I find the fact that they are fans of that football team
and their
repulsive.
Hosts, their radio hosts are bored by their football
and
team.
And their radio hosts are bored, and they're not as good as us. So that's one thing we will always have over them.
So here is the full list of the Madden 99 club this year. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Lane Johnson, and Myles Garrett.
Lane Johnson's a 99.
He is a 99. So who are we missing here?
Say that list again real quick.
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, the only two quarterbacks on that list. Saquon Barkley, Justin Jefferson.
Stop. We're missing Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Why isn't Patrick Mahomes a 99?
And Owen, you brought this to my attention. This is not the first time he's been left off the list.
I'm looking. I just pulled up a comprehensive list, right? And so Madden 23, he was not on there. 24 and 25, he was on there on the 99 club.
Josh Allen and Lamar 99s? I got no problem with Josh Allen and Lamar being 99s. Why wouldn't Mahomes be a 99?
Well, especially because those two are both, we would use the term.
They were your two MVP candidates.
That's true. But we would also say video game players. Like when I watch Lamar Jackson, I'm like, that's a video game guy. So that makes sense. That's cool. Josh Allen,
That's a good thing to be, I guess.
Yeah. Josh Allen, does he account for like 45 to 50 touchdowns every year?
Is Mitch listening?
I didn't say AFC championship player.
Mitch, are you
the
there?
Video I'm here. Game player.
Go back and look and see if you can what Saquon Barkley was going into last year.
Oh, because he had to have gotten a bump.
That's what I'm saying. If he was like a 98 last year, then maybe I'll back off this. But this is just, now, if you really want to do it, this is another argument why Jalen Hurts might be the most disrespected quarterback in the NFL. Maybe the most disrespected player in the NFL.
Saquon was at a 92 last year.
Saquon was a 92 and goes to a 99. So everybody's saying that you won the Super Bowl thanks to Saquon Barkley. Which
Barkley averaged,
for all we know, may be true, but
2 years ago, this has to be one of the biggest jumps. In 2023 with the Giants in 14 games, he had a 3.9 yard per carry average.
Get him out of the league.
He was 5.8 last year. Going to Philadelphia boosted him almost 2 yards a carry.
Lane Johnson,
how do you jump backwards over that guy? That helped.
How do you make an offensive lineman a 99, but then you boast the running back up to 99?
I know. You're right. But we saw him play like a video game player last year.
What's Jalen Hurts going into this season, Mitch? Can you look that up by any chance and get back to me on this? Because I said, well, we may find out that he is. We won't know Jalen Hurts is overrated here for the next couple of years.
87.
He's at 87?
What quarterback is he on that list? Can you find that out? I would imagine there is a slew of quarterbacks ahead of him. Could Baker be ahead of him?
I mean, they weren't playing with 10 guys out there. Jalen Hurts did have to help the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Well, and he was amazing.
They're a great overall football team.
They use him as a battering ram, too.
Oh, battering ram Jalen Hurts. He couldn't even finish the whole season. Remember, Kenny Pickett had to go in there.
He only had 5 incompletions in the Super Bowl. In the NFC Championship game, he was 20 of 28.
I just can't believe Jalen Hurts is that disrespected. I don't think he's of Mahomes or Allen or anything like that.
Not only did he throw 221 yards to 2 touchdowns, he also carried it 11 times for 72 yards.
And what was it? 87, right? It feels like he should be a 90.
He should be in the 90s. Yes. He should be in the 90s.
It's like
the Super Bowl winning quarterback who is their franchise quarterback. They've paid Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it's
this isn't Nick Foles.
You know, he only threw for 18 touchdowns in a regular season. See, we are
how many
turning,
did he run for?
Right. Well, that's the thing. He ran for 14. And then how many first downs did he convert?
So how is he just an 87?
So we are
is
in a...
Is Howie Roseman paying them off to keep him motivated?
I'm telling you, we are approaching an NBA world in the NFL where we do regular season and playoffs, and we got to start thinking about it that way. He has been a huge playoff performer.
Now, you just gave me the Super Bowl stats of Jalen Hurts, right? Well, you remember halfway. I mean, there was such a bad beat, and I think the Chiefs just wanted to get out of there in the third and fourth quarter. So, I mean, that had something to do with it as well. Owen is nodding his head like, yeah, probably they were.
I don't know. Chiefs fans got out of there.
Owen said, I'm going to bed.
The score is, and I forgot it. I was watching a Kelsey video the other day. He was on Bussin' with the Boys, and they were asking him some questions about, like, hey, did you quit? What time did you quit? Did you know it was happening? And he was like, well, we didn't quit, but there was a point where they had the backup D lineman in, and you were like, okay, they've raised the flag already. So they did. The Chiefs did score a couple late.
Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdowns, I think, to make it a more respectable
40
score.
40-22 is the final score.
That thing was 40-6. 7.
Yeah.
6.
Yeah, 40-6 at one point.
Forever.
Which I can't make fun of you, because if I won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, I would have slept just fine
like
myself.
I'm more interested in having those AFC Championship game quarterbacks, which there's one that's made it every year since 2018.
Gio in Cleveland, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Gio.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Gio. Go right on ahead, friend.
I would like to say that I think that Kevin Stefanski and the Browns are actually doing these two rookies a service, and I don't understand why all these people are in such a hurry to just grant Shedeur Sanders the starting position. I think, one, I have to say this, I think both of those young men, but especially Shedeur, has handled this really well, completely gone against everything that I thought how he would have handled it. And I know both you and Owen coach young men. If you've ever coached a young man in your life, he literally is just doing all the right things and saying all the right things. I compare this situation to almost like what's going on and what happened in Green Bay with Jordan Love. they're really benefiting both of these guys. They're giving them the time to become a professional. And then here's a word that I'm just getting sick of hearing Browns fans say. They're not giving him a chance. They're not giving. Listen, nothing. Do we not learn anything from the LeBron thing? Like, he has to earn it. I believe Kenny Pickett has earned the opportunity in the NFL to try to be a starting quarterback. I think Dylan Gabriel and Shador both need to earn the reps that they get. And I think that's what Kevin Stefanski is doing. And for the first time in Cleveland Browns history, we're actually handling a rookie quarterback the way you're supposed to handle him. Earn your reps. Learn your playbook. It's going to be your turn. Be prepared when you get that opportunity. That's all. I just think they're really handling it well.
I think we may get to a point, Gio, and I love the call, and I thank you very much for it, because obviously I agree with everything you say. We may reach to a point where we go, when do we take the training wheels off? When do we pull them out of the car seat?
Well, isn't that going to be the preseason game?
We may reach that.
Isn't that the start of the? I know preseason games, we've seen Browns quarterbacks have electrifying performances, but, and then still be terrible.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Seneca Wallace.
Brandon Whedon yeah. The day against the Detroit Lions, and well, I was sitting with you.
And I said Jake Delhomme. Jake Delhomme had a good one too, didn't he? So preseason is certainly not everything, but yeah, it is Jake the DeLome. First chance to see quarterbacks perform in their element when you could tell the difference between practice and games. When there's some guys who are chronically not great in practice and then could step up in games, and it becomes a different thing because they get a feel. They actually do have the threat of getting their head taken off because
mm-hmm.
there are guys trying to make rosters. Like, that's where I'm really excited to see Shador.
What I'm saying is, if I get to the point, and I think you're right about that, which,
don't,
by the way,
don't you think the joint practice is more than
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but we don't yeah. get to see it. That's what sucks.
See it.
We don't but get to see it. You're
I
right.
Don't know that,
for the coaches,
I don't know
yes.
that the other teams are going to run out the guys that I want to see him go against,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, you're right.
But if I'm making it, if I think I can make an argument someday down the line here, within the next month even, like, in kind of what, you know, Gio's talking about, what Lyman's talking about, if I get to a point where I think they're babying them too much, well, then I really can't say they're sabotaging them. You can't say they're trying to destroy Shador Sanders like Uncle Luke did, or sabotage Shador Sanders if they're babying them. You can't do it both ways. I could say I'm being too cautious, but that's not trying to destroy it. That's just me being, maybe I'm inept then if I'm the Cleveland Browns. That's not good. See, people, this is what I'm getting upset with. The Browns have gotten in their way so many times, their own way so many times before. But they're not actively trying to destroy him. They've done a perfectly fine enough job destroying some careers on their own if they really wanted to. But and when it comes to actually trying to help him out, they're trying to help him out. So don't tell me about babying him and all of a sudden and then there's going to be a sabotaging going on. Like when I said a couple of segments ago, when I did get really animated about the stuff about sabotaging Shador, and people keep bringing up the first team reps. He's taking reps against the first team. So they trust him enough to go with the second team to take reps with the first team. So they're going to put him in there in certain situations. They are testing him. And remember, guys, it's been 1 week of training camp. You've had a day off in there. You've had Wednesday to Wednesday. You've gone from throwing to ball boys. He's gone from throwing to ball boys, according to Daryl, to now taking reps against the first team with the second teamers. And who's the guy that, which, by the way, 2 second trivia, I got an idea for next week. Who's the guy that ends up being on the all the highlights that the Browns are showing, the wide receiver that we didn't know was a real first, that was a real name? Hold on, I got to find it. It's not Sam Cannell or South Cannell.
Not that one.
No. It's it starts with a G. Gage,
yes.
Larvadane. Gage Larvadane. If you're making him out to be a guy that they show highlights of, what is a quarterback supposed to do? What's a quarterback supposed to do?
Elevate
other
receivers.
Guys and make them look better.
Well, apparently they've all been elevating Deontay Johnson. Is he wide receiver two? For the Browns?
I didn't say it was a great wide receiver room. I'm pointing out that this guy is, this guy is probably wide receiver 6 or 7. Yeah,
Larvadane?
Larvadane going into yesterday might have been wide receiver number 9.
Wow. You're sitting there. You've got it pulled up in front of you.
Rank them.
Power rank what?
The wide receivers in the room right now. The wide receivers with four syllables in their last name.
Where's Floria? Is he,
he's in there.
Is he jumping up?
All right, here we go. Number one, Jerry Jeudy. Number two, oh my God. Number two, Cedric Tillman. Whoa!
Putting in the work.
Number three might be Deontay Johnson.
Jamari Thresh had a nice day.
He did. I like Jamari Thresh. Fine young man. Good interview, too.
Does that help you catch balls?
See, when we power rank things, it is a very sobering practice for what the season could end up being.
And that's why we do it.
Like, if you want to go nuts and get excited about things, just power rank some of the positions. Power rank the cornerbacks right now. Number one, Number one, Denzel Ward. All right.
They're moving Delta down. All
right. Hey, you don't know what's going to happen by the end of the year. Number two, Greg Newsom.
All right. First round pick.
Is he going to be on the trade block the entire season?
How are you going to trade him?
Are we going to be doing that again?
I got to have someone play that position.
I don't know. If the Guardians are talking about trading Kwan.
Donovan McMillan, who sounds like he's going to be fighting for the TNA championship, yeah. The Cruiserweight championship, that name?
Anytime, anywhere.
Saw him at the Spectrum.
Cam Mitchell, who last year, late round pick. Good, then here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sobering practice there.
Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.